This is the audio recording for the Candia Planning Board meeting for May 17, 2023, part 2 of 2.
That is a good question, though. I can talk to George, and I can talk to a couple of consultants who are doing this in other towns just to see.
I guess that's 100,000 covered attorney's fees and engineer's fees or whatever that we have to do the actual write the ordinances.
That would make sense.
That would make some sense.
Because, right? Right now, there's a good point. I just realized that you're looking for regulatory, including zoning ordinances, our site plan regulations, the humoristic notebook and stuff. Because if you're giving us a list of recommendations for changes, it would seem, depending on how long that list was.
Right. I mean, those recommendations could be, it could be bullet points looking at, we think this needs to be improved or you need to include this, but it's not going to be written.
Okay.
That's what I would assume. With only $50,000 with doing all these audits, doing a build out analysis.
Yeah. Right. Right.
That's what I would think. And then groundwork is laid out, then they would have to, of course they would have the recommendations, they know what they're doing, but they would have to cross examine all of the different sections and make sure there's no predictions, redundancy, anything like that.
I think that's probably really good, because if you look at these in here, one of them was the one that would have to be done very carefully, and that was 3 and 6 on the build-out analysis and the supplemental build-out analysis. That's what I think. That's what sunk us last time. I think we learned a lot.
The HOP grant, that's the grant that just keeps giving. Like when I learned about phase two, I was like, oh, great, we go from 25 to 50. And then all of a sudden tonight, phase three, for the first time, they go, how much is that? 100.
Oh, you didn't?
Each time it doubled. I didn't even know it was. I thought it was 1 and 2.
Wasn't somewhere in phase one, were they going to help us with the use fee analysis? Use fees is a real problem here. Right?
No, that was a separate project.
Okay.
That we're looking at to do the impact fees.
Okay. Yep. I thought it was being covered by some grant that we had, but this is the only grant that.
No, that's the one I kept for the board of selectmen and the planning board kept fighting the budget committee over. I went to the town meeting and said, "Please go to the planning."
Okay.
And they did.
And the 25 people in the room said yes.
Yeah.
Knock it. No. not knocking it. Yeah, I think Brian and I are
definitely town meeting people.
Yeah, all good. I mean, I definitely think one and two of phase two are two things we absolutely must do. I mean, everything else is bonus money in my book.
Yeah. Well, I think, and again, Scott, you talked to George a lot, so you might know this, and also Cam. I guess the biggest thing is to justify the request and what we're getting out of it.
I usually go have lunch with George or whatever. Pop the door, sit down with George. Your grand's 100 grand, man. I'll pimp myself out.
Well, see, because the thing is when they say 100 grand.
Great. He wants it. He said, and even I told him, I said, Candy is a tough sell, George. And he's like, yeah, but he says, we'll take the long view. He says, well, we'll just keep chipping away. Let's build a good fundamental base and do the good work. And then I said, but even if it's 10 years, so they're not saying like holding a hammer overhead, say, you've got to get results now. Mm. It's like they really give you a lot of latitude and just say, hey, we're trying to help and we know it's hard. And they'd like to see us win on the local level, is what he wants. I said, George, good luck. In other words, you don't want to have to use the state. He wants to see you get it through on this level. And I'm like, yeah, maybe 20 years,
The thing is, without this money that has fallen from the sky for this planning work, most smaller communities are not going to pay to do this type of analysis. Like, it's too much.
Oh, right. I'm not going to do it.
They don't have the capacity. They don't have the funds for it.
You can't get 15 grand.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine what it is for $50,000? Yeah. We have a higher
They're really excited about it because they feel like they are, you know, providing this opportunity for towns who otherwise just wouldn't be doing these exercises.
Yeah. Well,
so we can do a study.
It's like, I got a question, and you talked to George a lot on this. It doesn't seem to me that there's a lot of towns requesting the money.
I think there are. I don't know the number, but there's quite a few.
So this is
$100 million, that was from the total.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just wondering if we get to the point of being really competitive in the grant requests.
George is a key.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
An ally. Huh?
Yeah, because I think that probably would be, you know, with your contact with George, I think that would be very helpful and kind of.
Absolutely.
And figure it out,
yeah.
He's on my list, boy.
So
you need an Uber driver for that?
Come on. Okay, I don't need, but he's right there across from, New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
Bedford, that, so it's like right around the corner.
This is Park, yeah. They've been there for years.
So I'll turn this into an application. Again, this is just was kind of like a draft scope. One thing to think about too, like I said before, I think the town should utilize one of the consultants who kind of specialize in developing these types of regs. So I think there should be like an RFP process.
I still, like I said before, I just want to make sure that we downplay the consultants a little bit and upplay
what the board feels after we bring in all the information, we process it, and as a board, we say this is what we think based on.
Right.
Don't let them tell us what to do. We take, and then we.
Yeah, and then we get the public in here.
Yep.
We repackage it.
Yeah. I think it'd be great if it goes good. Pick up this whole thing.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. So I have a little homework to do there. The other thing. I said I would do this at the last meeting. This is also very draft. This isn't something I think the planning board needs to slave over. I think this will be the product, the focus of the steering committee. For this phase one. But these are just some draft survey questions. The survey is just going to be one little part of the community outreach we're doing. I just wanted to give you some question ideas, and I just want you guys to think about what types of things do you want to be asking folks, but more importantly, what things do you want to get out? What do you want to hear from people? We don't have to go through this line by line. Think about this. Think about like what you would want to be asked if you were not on the planning board, and so if you want to talk about it, we can, but I wanted you to sit on it, think about it. Again, this is something I think that the volunteers and the committee will kind of slave over a little bit more, but I'm going to just take a look.
So we want to, who would get this survey?
This is residents.
All residents.
Yeah.
From my experience talking
about residents. Most people will buy it from most people.
Hand the candy because
so that's what I want to hear. Literally.
Most people came to Canada because they want to get away from stuff. People that come to Canada like it kind of quiet.
Yeah.
That's the basic.
Yeah.
Thing. So, I think that's what we're going to learn. Like, they're telling us as a town, they're like, we want to go real easy. When we have the state saying, we got to go, got to do more. And then we're like in the middle, and we're in the middle trying to.
Yeah.
So, this is just going to residents. So, the options would just be residential, because I've never been to Canada, so that wouldn't really need to be an option. So I can just keep crossing stuff off that. If it's only going to residents.
Yeah, but if we post online and stuff, someone, other towns may never know.
I don't
know.
It, though?
Well,
skew your data.
Well, I can take that out of the data. That'd be like the point of that. If someone answered that, I would know every one of their other answers, and so it wouldn't reflect. I could like take that out. You know what I mean? Rather than if I didn't have that, I don't know who's answering. It could be someone who lives in Boston answering this. You know, just like a little safety kind of thing. You know.
Okay.
Same comment I would have from the other one here is to minimize the master plan section of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both more for housing.
Yeah.
What's your suggestion for getting these out to people?
We'll do a bunch of different things. I think one of them is we can have physical copies in places where people frequent in town. It'll definitely be online. We'll put little like QR codes and links throughout town where people can scan them, take it on their phone. Ideally, this isn't going to be a long survey. This is just on housing. So it's, you know, I'd want it to be a 5-minute survey, you know, that would be ideal. Someone can just do it on their phone if they wanted to. I think it would be good for me and any other volunteers on this committee. We can go out to like a couple of events. We can survey folks there. I think, you know, ideally we're going to be going to where people are at rather than, you know, spending the money on like sending this to every mailbox, you know, that
have a poster that is next to the dumpster at the transfer.
Right, exactly. Right.
With a QR code on it, and you'll get
everybody
a quarter of the residents.
Yeah.
A quarter of the residents? Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, wait a minute, there's a lot of people in Canyon that don't use.
Yeah,
you know what? I can't figure out the QR code. So,
so that's just one thing, you know, but like, I'm sure the town of Candia has local Facebook groups.
Yeah. Is
right? Like we'll post it in there. We'll
give it to.
Yeah.
Is there a bill? I don't take care of the finances in the household. Is there a bill that all residents get in Candia?
Tax bill.
Yeah. That survey be put in that tax bill. We used to do it in our electrical.
The taxes go out in
July.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah.
But I think Brian just brought up a great point, though. Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, it could be a link on a piece of paper.
Yeah, but then you're not capturing the real sense of the community.
Yeah.
I wanted to share something.
Yeah.
Kent is an older community.
Yeah.
I grew up in this town, and I don't think I realized when I was growing up how great it was and how good I had it. Growing up in a small community, probably 2,500 people, but it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I only appreciate the memories now and didn't appreciate it at the time.
So we hated it. It's too small.
But when we had functions in town, there was a group of people that were involved in doing stuff. Now we're asking for volunteers to come in and their input for this. We used to have that core of people that were heavily involved in town.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't sitting on boards. We didn't have the boards like we have now, is per se. But there was a core of people, pretty good sized core of people that really kind of functioned and you know, input into the town and made things happen. And I don't think Kevin touched on it. People today, they're really not involved that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have boards voted in.
Yeah.
They don't want to be involved. If it's not personally affecting them, they don't want to hear about it.
Bring the kids to soccer,
and I don't want to discourage trying to get people to come in and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want that input, but I think it's going to be difficult.
It'll be hard, yeah.
Yeah.
But like Rudy says, you got to try.
We'll try, but I'm just saying.
That's why
you haven't touched on it, and I agree with him that people today, they don't want to care about the town and what's growing and what's not growing.
They pull in their garage, they hit the
button,
the door go down,
and they're in their world. Makes my
two fingers to pull them across the street. Then they care.
Well, there are a lot of people that care about certain aspects, like, you know, CYAA with the kids, Boy Scouts, PTA or something like that.
Yeah.
But you're right. This is just a bedroom community for a lot of
people. For a lot of people, and it's just going to grow that way.
Unfortunately.
But you touched on it too. It's very hard and expensive for children from people who lived in town to stay here and build their family. It's very high.
Yeah, no, I'm a product of that. I grew up in a really small town that got overrun, and I had to get the hell out of town. It's, you know, when I got out, it's like I couldn't stay there anymore. You know?
It was like, growing up in my town. I grew up in my town, raised my kids in my town, taught in my town, involved in my town.
Yeah.
When I was there, there were no malls. There was, I don't know, 10 farms. I was in Massachusetts.
Oh, man.
In Danvers, and it just, and we were all like, you know, this is a nice little town, and everybody chipped in, and we had all these things going on, but progress comes, and more people come, and, you know, and it got bigger and bigger.
They don't have the same, people just don't have the same input into their community.
No, we're so busy.
We were in the same high school class. We found that out here.
Didn't even know that.
A friend of mine was in Gloucester, right? So it's a very small, tight community, and people, it's gotten so expensive.
Yeah, that's efficient. Yeah.
So, but all these people whose families have been there for five generations want to stay, and they can't. So what they're doing with their regulations is letting people dice up yards and put housing over garages all over the place. And the population is growing, but it's getting just more and more
dense.
Yeah.
Let's try to say that. Right. Here in Canada,
right?
No, I was in Memorial. I just hung out in Canada all the time. I knew more people in Canada than I did in Manchester. when we were in this high school, it was like 500 students in each one of our classes.
Well, we had double sessions because there wasn't enough room for 3 years.
Anyway,
I got a couple things.
But I just don't understand that because I think we've got a...
My high school graduating class was 75 in 1976. 75 and 76.
423.
Six something.
Anyway, a couple things. Yeah. Like talking about, you know, the Candia's selection of housing, and two questions here. It's only about the respondents' needs today and tomorrow. It's not about beyond that. It's not like, how do you think Candia's housing is for people or for your children or for family members or whatever. You know, it's not.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just,
right? Like my housing needs in the future. Is a box you put my ashes in. Okay, so you know, I'm not going to answer that question because it doesn't really apply to me.
So eight would probably be better to have than seven.
I think I can expand now. I think we can add to, you know, for others, you know, the wording will be better, but
no,
that's a great point. Yeah,
yeah, it is, Tim, because when I look at that, it's like my house is flying.
Right.
Well, you'd be surprised. Like,
The answer is good. How's yours?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to depend on this. It may also depend on your age, you know, how you answer this. You know,
like
if you're looking to downsize in Canada, you probably have a lot of options.
Fair point.
You know?
I didn't think of that.
But
I don't like the 55 old either. Too close.
People that move from places. Like Connecticut or New York, it's like it's the country, right?
Then are we live?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll share.
I think we could
get
rid of number seven.
Yeah.
Keep number eight and then add or replace number seven with a broader question about housing as a whole.
Okay.
I think people don't think about the needs of housing in the town. They think about their own roof over their head.
But
lawn's in tough shape.
We should ask the question.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because as Brian said, there's a lot of people in town that own big houses and lots of land, and their kids grow up and move, whether sometimes just because they want to. A lot of people move for jobs. But then if you've got a four-bedroom house and there's only you and your wife and the grandkids come over like once a year, why do you want to pay all those taxes?
And that question to me is like, because I ain't moving. So I'm getting hauled out of there cold.
Okay, so I think the I'm just gonna come back every one of your planning board meetings until you know.
Yeah.
Until we tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When do we tell them? We switched to Thursday night.
But we got you on your agenda. Costing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, so I'll. The main thing I think before the next one is I'll have like a pretty serious draft application for these two phases. And then the other thing, I think Amy and I are going to try to meet between now and the next meeting. We're going to try to come up with some menu of options for other sort of outreach potential activities we can do. Things that we're learning through the Housing Academy and then, you know, elsewhere. So maybe that's something we can talk about at the next meeting too, you know, other than just doing a charade or something.
Scott, were you and Brian on the, remember when we did the big charade a few years ago? You participated.
Brian
in
wasn't
that.
Though.
Oh, you didn't?
We had Jack Munn back then.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, because we had those different subcommittees, like with the transportation subcommittee. Mm-hmm. That's how we ended up with the, you know, the roadway and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, was a lot. But yeah, people got involved. You know, there was quite a thing at the school.
I could be.
Right? People got, and then, no, there really was. There was a lot.
No, I said, I could be wrong.
What's her name? Vasquez was involved, that woman Vasquez, and then you had Connie Bolton.
Yeah.
And, Carmel.
Yeah,
Carmel. Yeah. There was a lot of interest that was generated. Particularly, people came out. They won. There's a lot of people that came out. You know,
there were. I'd say you know, thinking back, but I'd say we at least 75 people, maybe even more.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was well attended. Yeah. It was.
So it could be if we do this right, that we could
turn it into like a pizza party. More people will come.
I think Brian brings up a good point too, though. I mean, I think Scott gives it, made it a vocal bit, but it's like, how do we develop something so that we don't get pushback from people when we actually have a nice plan? Go along with the plan,
mm-hmm.
And then people come in and start yelling at us because we're doing what the people told us to do.
Yeah, I think you know we can avoid that. That would be possible.
Much, and I wish I could say we could plan, but we don't like it.
Yeah, I think we're just gonna wave that flag. That's kind of the purpose of this phase one. We're gonna be transparent about everything that we're doing. You know.
Yeah.
So
we gotta. I think one of the things too is we gotta make sure that. People realize that, I'll do this, but this is an input session.
Yes.
We're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. No, right. This is
per se with anything.
Yeah.
Right?
This isn't
education.
Yeah. This is engagement.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah. Engagement.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think that's important. The last thing we want is to talk to people, you know, like talk to them. At
right.
Them. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right,
we want them.
That second phase is real important, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I've been screaming about that. We don't have the time to do that.
Right.
No.
Kind of work. Yeah. But all our zoning regs and everything and the building, all that should be looked at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll commit to not talking as much so that we get more input from people.
Got that, Amy?
Yeah, you know that.
We can't.
Yes, you can.
You've sucked up all the oxygen.
The first thing I say is any comments from the board.
After you spoke for an hour.
No, I had comments, but I forgot that they were.
See, exactly. Exactly.
I fell asleep. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, thanks for
your input. I'm going to put you guys on the spot from now on.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
you'll hear from me soon.
All right, good. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Have a nice time.
Thanks.
Yeah.
does for the overall.
The regulatory.
Yeah, I've been talking about that for years, but I haven't done my part on it either. We're here. There's a lot of energy that we devoted to just that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
All right. Approval of minutes.
Oh no, Judy's not here. How can we do that?
I know.
I don't know. Somebody stepped up big time last meeting. I don't
Brian.
They?
Yeah, Judy.
I did have one shiny board.
Yeah, I was like, well, I was listening to that. I'm like, oh, this was different.
I breezed through it, but nothing jumped out at me. Is
you want to hold off on approving them until everybody has a chance to read them and do them next meeting? Or are you comfortable?
Amy's an old pro now, so she's gotten a thumbs up from the last, what, 4 or 5 meetings?
Yeah.
Well, no, you put a kibosh on that.
It was minor.
I will let Shelby know.
Shelby Hatfield, she works with Brian Stan. It's name tick.
That's my dog's name.
Shelby.
Well, you can accept on a motion, and if it doesn't pass, well, you can't want.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we accept the next as you know.
I'll second.
Okay, he's got a motion in a second. Any discussion? Every number to yes. Brian?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Mike? No, no, I'm sorry. Linda?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I like this. He didn't move out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's what I was hoping to have.
Yeah, Nate's so he's so good on it. He's on it, man.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah, I know.
Love that kid.
Appeals update: Foster Farms. We did have a preliminary hearing last Wednesday, I think it was, and it was basically just was a very short meeting. I think it's basically to. Have the Housing Appeals Board tell both councils that they need to get information to the Housing Appeals Board. And
each one specifically different information?
Between the two attorneys?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what were you saying about both, right?
Right. The big thing is as you know, the board acted favorably for count one. The appeal in our favor. The second count was the question on the constitutionality of us having the arterial road section in there. So our attorney did file a motion to dismiss, but that hasn't been acted on yet either. He also put in the fact that we feel that it is constitutional. So the information is going to be prepared. There will be in-person testimony by three of us in Canada. Have no date set yet for when that hearing is going to be. So once we get all of that stuff straightened out, I'll get some more information.
I'm just glad this is an expedited,
you know, right?
It worked pretty well for the.
As I recall, his lawyer said, "Yes, getting those documents was all on him, but he had until the following Monday to produce them. Were they provided on time?"
Yes, but then the preliminary hearing for the hearing was that the documentation for both arguments. Needs to be presented, and that's what we're finalizing now, the presentation at the hearing itself. So that's still in the works. On the 23 Main Street, there was a hearing for dismissed. That's when it was last week. Dismissed. And basically, the town gave reasons why the appeal should be dismissed. And the plaintiff attorney basically gave information on why it shouldn't be, that they should have standing. So the judge took it under advisement and will issue a ruling in 30 days. But he did have, there was a lot of information. Amy can attest to how much information was involved with that. So,
reams.
455 pages.
Yeah, almost reams. Yeah.
So we should have information on that. Well, I guess by June 7th, unless he decides to rule earlier than that. So all it is right now is to whether the plaintiff has standing in the case. And it was very interesting for to be there and sitting there. Very interesting.
Sullivan's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to like or dislike, but I mean, I like him better than Courtney, you know. So you have Courtney or Sullivan. Sullivan's like a real good real estate attorney.
He's been very good, you know, dealing with us and stuff. But we're trying to set up a meeting with the people from the town that are going to be testifying sometime, probably the beginning of June, so we can get all of that stuff and get all the ducks in line and then go from there. All right, other business. We did do something after. Mark, did you want to say something on agricultural zoning?
Yeah, Rudy, I was approached by one of our citizens in town, and, you know, we started the Agricultural Commission quite a few years ago, but there's no zoning for existing farms. So the citizen was concerned that, you know, maybe we should be looking, as far as planning for the town, overlaying existing working farms and making like agricultural zones so that we can kind of protect the farms.
Mark? Well, that's interesting, because I know that when we worked on the agricultural stuff, I thought we were very specific that
agriculture was about grandfather.
Yeah,
they do it.
But maybe that is something that, what the board think?
Yeah. Is there an area where there's a concentration of farms, or is everything everything's in current use?
Yeah, so kind of spread out, but yeah.
So how do you make your zone?
You could do, that would be that thing. You couldn't do spot zoning.
Right. Sure.
But Mark brings up an interesting point. Is it wouldn't be so much agricultural zoning. It would probably be something like the mobile home park, where that particular area, which is an existing mobile home park, is protected, that you can do that. I think we probably have to check with town council just to see how to do it and not make it look like we're doing spot zoning. But
agricultural, they did it in Massachusetts, in Danvers, to save some farms. And there was a way that, like, the town had control over when it was going to be passed. It was always going to have to be a farm. Somehow it was through the state. And I don't know if New Hampshire has anything for agriculture.
Well, New Hampshire is totally in favor of agriculture,
yeah,
right,
statewide.
Yeah.
But there's some type of zoning or health or whatever that keeps those farms.
Well, current use.
Current use, but there's something else. I'll see if I can check out this.
You know, the problem is you can't, like, you know, let's just say Brian's place, right? In agriculture, we want to keep it in agriculture, so we're going to zone that as agriculture.
Sure.
Because then you allow the future owners of that now no longer have the ability to develop it because it's zoned agriculture. So that which is why a lot of towns, what they'll do is they will buy the development rights for the property.
Yes, yeah, they do that.
That's the way to protect it, is to have the landowner sell the development rights to the town, right, for, you know, negligible amount of money, you know, and then now it's protected. Or if the town wants to, you know, actually go out and actively do this.
Well, we've done that with some places like the Sanborn's farm.
Whereabouts protected, but
Well, there's land trusts, right?
Yeah.
Like that's all
correct.
Yeah.
But and that just prevents it from ever being developed.
Right. They buy the development rights.
Right.
So you still own the property, but you do not own the rights to develop it. Some land trust does, or the town does, or whatever.
Yeah.
Mark, if you could find out what the concern is a little bit more in detail, because I think we have, from what I'm hearing, we have a lot of protection now, and we are very pro agriculture.
Not like we're shutting down working farms here in Canada. You know?
Right.
Oh, we don't really have any real work.
Right. Yeah. The issue that I've seen elsewhere is places that used to be farming towns have been diced up and developed.
Oh, sure.
They're down to a handful of, a couple of farms left. They want to keep farms in town, so they try to incentivize them not to dice them up.
Right.
But it's still their land, right? So selling the development rights is one way to do that.
You can't really do it by zoning, because it is spot zoning, and you have taken away the value of the land from the owner.
We do have an incentive, because current use is basically, if you use it for...
Right. Almost tax-free, right?
Yeah,
very little money.
Yeah,
he's bought up some development rights. He's bought up some development rights through the years, about using that current use one.
Yeah, there's not much left right now.
Mary Gerard's property, that was the same.
Yeah,
yeah, like that town park over, over there on the other side of the town. What do you call it?
Town forest.
Forest or something over there. I mean, they quite a bit.
So that's open space.
Yeah, but that actually, we bought the land, right? So we own that land, not just development.
I think we own that.
Yeah.
I guess it would be try to get a little bit more information on what the concern is. It seems from what I'm hearing, we seem to have some pretty good protections. But...
Well, the protections are out there.
Yeah.
It's been engaged by the property owner.
And they may not want to.
Well, they might not want to, yeah.
And in the past, obviously, a lot of these places were cut up because they were getting charged the full tax rate.
Right.
Yeah. They couldn't afford 100 acres to get tax on that.
So they carve off pieces to pay the taxes with.
Well,
all of a sudden. Well, but it started way before that, when they would carve up a piece for this son and carve up a piece for that daughter.
Right. Like,
our street is like all relatives.
Yeah. I used to know a rich guy. In Marion, Mass, right in Buzzards Bay, there's Converse Point. So I knew a guy named Converse. His family used to own the entire point, right? And over time, they got to where they had the 3 acres at the end, and the other 150 acres or more had all been diced off because taxes, till they had
inheritance tax. Boom, there's another show.
Yeah.
That's
our way. Yeah, it is. I think we'll just
investigate.
Yeah. Mark, if you give us more information.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything we can do, that'd be great. I mean, I think it's, our hands are kind of tied, since there's not like, it's not like we're a mountain community with a river valley where all the agriculture is, right. And there's a whole bunch of farms there, and we want to preserve that. That's easy money, right? That's easy to do. This is a little more difficult to try and do.
The town of Lee is a nice agriculture community that still has working farms and stuff. They have a strong Ag Commission. They came over to, they helped us get our started here in Canada many years ago, and because they got working farms over there.
Yeah.
But we really, our
topography here is not exactly big working farm friendly.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah.
But it's funny. Brian probably remembers too that even from like my house up on North Road at one point in time, this wasn't before I actually came into town, but you could see from North Road all the way over to High Street.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing there.
Yeah.
And the land that we own, although it was rocky, there's a whole bunch of stone walls around it because it was
sheep.
Yeah, but I'm saying in modern day today, you can't farm land like that.
Oh, no.
You just can't make a
living. You couldn't farm land either.
It was sheep
grazing
for
the mills.
Yeah.
But you look at the old,
people are doing hay. So that's what I'm active farming.
Yeah.
They're just wondering, that's all.
I used to publish the agricultural production, like for Canada. So you could look like in 1850, you could say how many bushels of apples.
Yeah.
And to me, it was amazing how much production there was on like you said, there really wasn't really good soil and stuff. And still, a lot of people have like little orchards, you know, they have their gardens. And
yeah, it was really on a vineyard now.
Yeah.
It was really cool though, to see that, those production numbers, that somebody was actually trying to, you know, track how many, you know, livestock. And
well, they didn't have canopies on every corner.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Everybody had to grow
something. You had to grow everything.
Yeah, right.
Raise everything and grow
it. Wasn't that long ago.
So there's a whole different town planning. Are we going to talk about that?
Yes. We just did town planning.
I assumed that was
that was my tongue in my cheek right there. Yeah.
There's a reason we have that on there. That it goes back to what I was talking about before, with some people thinking that we're just hiring out people to tell us what to do. So we put it on there to make sure that we can talk about things at a regular meeting.
Yeah.
So, anything else that anybody has for the board? Again, I for my personal standpoint, thank you guys very much for doing everything that you guys are doing. I mean, I think that the involvement by everybody is just been growing by leaps and bounds, and give everybody credit for sticking it out.
Come along,
Candace, putting up with me.
Come along, Candace, come a long way, huh? Really, from back in the day.
Back in the day.
Just one little note, it may or may not respond, but we are supposed to sign Friday for the land.
Cool.
So,
oh, wow. Oh, nice.
It's only been over a year.
Yeah.
Cool. Who signed? Are you with?
Me.
Yeah, I was the chair.
It has been all approved by the town.
So it'll be officially ours after
Friday. I'm holding my breath because it was supposed to be last Friday and it got canceled.
Oh, I have a question for you. The community power committee that has been approved and it's going to be going forward. Dick Snow flagged that there's a grant available that's pretty significant for towns that want to get involved in solar, right? And I know Raymond's kind of pursuing it pretty hard. They have a piece of land set aside to try to put a solar field in to generate power.
Mm-hmm.
I assume Candy has a bunch of land. I doubt that there's any interest in having the town provide a piece of land to try to pursue a grant that would put in infrastructure for solar on creation,
right? That came up about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Nothing developed because no one took the lead on it. So it might be something for the Energy Commission or committee to take a look at.
So there's a
at the old transfer station on the Boston Road.
Apparently you can't put it there. Somebody, I think Dick Snow said there's a caveat against that for some reason.
Environmental concern.
Yeah, he said that place was.
They got a huge one in Manchester on Mount Manchester.
Yeah, I know.
Not Trashmore.
Yeah. There's a webinar coming out
of the bank
in the first week of June. So I'll make sure I'm on it to try to get more information. But I think grant app has to be in like 14 days after that. But we have to have an idea if we're even interested.
The issue with having it at the old incinerator site is there's no three-phase power coming down
to plug into
site.
Oh, coming down New Boston Road.
Right.
Okay.
It's not that far.
Right.
You could go out to Deerfield Road. But that's usually one of the caveats is that
with three-phase.
I just don't know how much town land the town actually owns.
I think that's the only real open.
Well, even like. Like you go,
we should go to the Carol lunch and sell the trees.
Yeah, there you go.
Solar is making so much sense. We got the highest rates in continental U.S., so solar is paying big time. And typically, what happens is like a company will offer us like a power purchase agreement. They'll come in, they'll develop it, they'll build it, and then sell power back to us like a discounted rate or something. Like typically, you're not seeing like the municipalities like owning and running like their own equipment, but I suppose they could. I don't know. You know what I mean? Right.
Well, we certainly could do wind here too. It's a lot of we get a fairly consistent flow.
That's interesting because I did a wind study when I was at Phillips Exeter Academy and it didn't pay off.
Really?
Yeah. And there was one person. There was a person who had a wind. Oh, Bob Martell had a wind
generator.
Bob Rogge just put up a little windmill.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah. For as well.
Yeah, oh, for as well. My daughter works for a utility company in northern Vermont, and she is, you know, part of her job is, you know, buying renewable stuff, and she will buy solar last because it's unreliable.
Oh, okay.
She'll buy wind and, you know, water and anything else before solar's her last buy because it's unreliable.
It's cloudy.
In New England.
Yeah. I mean, in the wintertime, what are we going to produce, right, for power? So,
it's not part of
the It does have a life expectancy. Get rid of that.
The ROI is unless there's a lot of government money, which is our money, paying for it on the backside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
Just a thought. Thanks.
Investigating all
this stuff. The economics work in the Hampshire still, though. You know?
Yeah.
Give somebody else to pay the bill.
Yeah. Even if somebody came in and they sold us power, you know, there's some benefit to telling you, like lease payments or cheaper power or something, you know?
Yeah.
Good. Anything else?
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion to second of your jury. Yes. Brian?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tim?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
All right.